was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
In recent weeks, we've been confronted by all sorts of negative news. Mass killings in our country on multiple occasions, nuclear threats by North Korea, and a whole variety of troubles across the globe. Moreover, we may be dealing with some real negatives, some significant problems in our own personal lives. This week, we celebrate Thanksgiving. Can we indeed be thankful? We can gain some real insight and perspective by looking especially at Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul speaks about being thankful to God in all of his letters, but he does so with particular and notable frequency in his letter to the Colossians, a few verses of which we heard a moment ago. In chapter 1, Paul urges his readers to joyfully give thanks to the Father. In chapter 2, he urges them to abound in thanksgiving. And in chapter 4, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And in the short passage we heard, Paul calls for thankfulness three times. He says, be thankful. Then urges his readers to sing songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And finally concludes, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In fact, in the letter to the Colossians, Paul urges his readers to be thankful more than he does in any other letter. He must have been having a good day when he wrote this. Or so you might think. But in fact, Paul wrote this letter during one of the toughest times in his life. He was imprisoned in Rome, dealing with multiple health ailments near the end of his life. Things looked grim for Paul, and yet he was abounding in thanksgiving. At the same time, he sent this letter to some people who were in exceptionally good times. The town of Colossae, located in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, was a center for the production of wool and the manufacturing of a certain kind of dye, which brought great prosperity to the region. The people in the church in Colossae were probably the most prosperous of all the congregations to which Paul sent letters. Yet Paul seemed to feel a particular need to urge these people to be thankful. And thus the letter in which Paul says the most about thankfulness, his letter to the Colossians, was written during Paul's worst times, when he presumably would have had the least reason to think about being thankful, and it was sent to a group of people who were in the best of times, who presumably would already have plenty of reason to be thinking about being thankful. But perhaps this very circumstance can tell us something. Was it precisely the desperate nature of Paul's situation which particularly awakened within him a profound sense of gratitude for what he did have? And was it precisely the prosperous circumstances of the Colossians which caused them to especially need a reminder to be thankful? Metropolitan Anthony Bloom, an Orthodox bishop who became well known for his writings on spirituality, told a story once which can shed some light on this subject. I was with a friend, he wrote, and since we were really too hungry to go on, we asked whether there was anything that they could give us. They said, we have half a cucumber. We looked at the cucumber and at each other and thought, is this all God can give us? Then my friend said, now let us say grace. I thought, goodness, for a cucumber. My friend was a better believer than I and more pious. So we read a liturgy together. Then we read a few more prayers. Then we read the blessing of the food. And all the time I had difficulty detaching myself from the cucumber, half of it, quarter of which would be mine. And then we broke the cucumber and ate it. In all my life, I have not been so grateful to God for any amount or quantity of food. I ate it as one would eat sacred food. I ate it carefully so as not to miss any moment of this rich delight of the fresh cucumber. And after we had finished, I had no hesitation in saying, and now let us give thanks to the Lord. And we started again in gratitude. Sometimes it is when people are close to having nothing that they may become most appreciative of what they do have. And certainly we can see that dynamic among the early pilgrims in Massachusetts. In their first couple of years, it was rough going for the Plymouth colony. The people struggled to have enough food through the winter. At one point, they were reduced to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn. And yet, in that rough environment, the pilgrims were profoundly thankful for what they did have. Perhaps their very closeness to complete poverty awakened within them a deep sense of their dependence upon God and moved them then to be thankful for every blessing that came their way. But then it's interesting to note what happened as time went on. Over the years in Massachusetts, the settlers became more numerous, more established. They became much more prosperous and secure. There were no more winters with 5 kernels of corn a day. Increased prosperity would surely lead to increased thankfulness, would it not? And yet, interestingly enough, Puritan preachers at the time complained about the opposite effect, that as people became more prosperous, they became less thankful to God. Church leaders recalled an old Latin saying, "Religion begat prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother." Paul seemed to be worried about precisely this kind of effect in Colossae, that as the people experienced great blessing, they might become inclined to take their blessings for granted. In this concern, Paul was actually echoing a concern expressed centuries before by Moses in that passage we heard from Deuteronomy. Moses was speaking about how God was leading the people to the promised land and how there they would experience tremendous blessing. But then Moses said, "Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. When you've eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, when your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is God who gives you the power to obtain all things." Moses cautions us that when we enjoy many good things in life, it is easy to begin to think that we are the cause of it all. We may forget our dependence upon God. Certainly, we can see exactly this phenomenon in our society today. We have extraordinary prosperity, especially when compared with 17th century New England or ancient Israel. And yet, in the midst of it all, many people forget the real source of their blessing and want to imagine themselves to be self-reliant. And so our age is especially in need of that admonition to be thankful. Of course, even if the society around us is generally prosperous, we may find ourselves in some personal circumstances where we are dealing with serious trouble or a real lack. But precisely here, the kind of thankfulness enjoined in the scriptures can be extremely helpful, because in times of trouble, an attitude of thankfulness to God has a transforming effect, and in 3 key ways. First, thankfulness moves us to take note of the blessings that we do have. It's easy to get focused on what we lack or what is troubling us. But thankfulness gives us another perspective as it moves us to take stock of and appreciate all the good things that are coming to us each day. Furthermore, thankfulness to God directs us to recognize not just our immediate blessings, but the eternal blessings that are ours as we put our faith in God. The blessing of God's grace, unfailing care, the blessing of being able to be a part of God's purposes, the blessing of God's everlasting promises. Finally, thankfulness to God lifts our spirit beyond the blessings themselves to the source. And this is the most important effect of thankfulness it moves us not only to appreciate God's gifts, but to praise God, and so to come into connection with the fountain of all goodness. One might think that those who have been richly blessed would naturally be especially thankful. Paul realized that those who've been richly blessed might be especially forgetful of God. And so to those who had abundance, he wrote the letter of Colossians saying, "Be thankful. Appreciate what you have and let it move you to acknowledge with praise the goodness of the Lord." At the same time, we might think that those who suffer trouble or deprivation will not find reason to be thankful. But Paul showed in his own life that thankfulness does not arise when everything's perfect. Thankfulness arises when our hearts are attuned to God and to God's gifts. Whatever our circumstances, if we take hold of God in faith and let the Lord open our eyes to his goodness, we will find that we do have reason to give thanks, and our hearts will be uplifted in the praise of the Lord. So we'll be able to live out what Paul would say in another of his letters: "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all things." Let us pray. Lord, wherever we find ourselves in life, move us to recognize your hand of blessing and to give to you the thanks and praise. And Lord, as we connect ourselves with you in faith, move us to reach out to others that we might be instruments of your blessing in our time. We give thanks for how your Spirit is at work in so many ways. We do reach out to those who are in times of illness, and we give thanks we can reach out into the world at large where there are so many needs. We praise you as we join with our fellow United Methodists as at the Medina United Methodist Church, and think of them this weekend. We praise you that we can reach out in many forms of mission, such as through the Steubenville Urban Mission, touching the lives of people who are in great need. Inspire and empower us, O Lord, as we continue to answer your call to be instruments of your care today. Lead us, Lord, as we lift our vision to you, as we see the wonder of all your gifts, and as we indeed lift to you our thanks and our praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.